Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. Hello, everybody. Welcome back once more for another episode of Man Reimagined. I'm Malcolm Nichols, and my good friend Richard Ayling is on the other end of this line. How you doing, Richie?
Tip top, Malky. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm very good. So today, we, having spent the last couple of weeks looking at this idea of embodiment in terms of, you know, what is it and how does it relate to dealing with emotions and various other things, and particularly our, in relationship with ourselves. This week, we're going to dive into the topic of touch, and we're going to explore, you know, what is it about men that for many of us, we seem to struggle with this idea of touch? And when I say touch, it can be hugging, it can be holding hands. You know, you and I, before we did this podcast, we talked about how in India, for example, men will walk down the street and hold hands. You know, but in a Western culture that you and I come from, Rich, you know, the touch is quite it carries a lot of unknown, and it, for a lot of men, it's a really uneasy topic. And it's touch between men, and it's touch between men and women, you know. And so today, there's a whole raft of areas that we're going to explore with this. So, Rich, would you like to kick the ball off and just, you know, talk a bit about what your experience around and thoughts are around this topic of touch?
Yeah, where to begin? I guess my own relationship to it is probably a good place to start. And that's someone that didn't grow up receiving a lot of it. And I think that when you don't receive a lot of it, then you're not able to then give a lot of something. And that applies to anything, love, whatever it is, right? So that wasn't like a way in to me to make sense of the world. And so I was quite a sort of shy sort of boy in that respect. And when I did receive it in moments of affection, it became this like unbelievably overwhelming thing, right? And the oxytocin, if you want to dive into hormones for a moment, that really fired off. And I associated touch with love. And so we can dive into the different love languages and the different ways people give and receive love in another podcast. But let me just say that touch is the number one thing for me. And it's ended up with, in relationships especially, it's been, as soon as I've received touch and become intimate, I'm in, I'm hooked, I'm literally addicted to what's kind of going on, and the hormonal kind of stuff that's going on inside me. It just feels amazing. So that's been my work, experience of it in relationships. And yet outside of that, I'm not quite sure how to give it, how to receive it. With men, it's I grew up in a world in the south of England where men that touch each other are obviously, you know, gay. They're poofs. They're, insert your derogatory term in there. And so I've never really had a good relationship to that. And men that hug each other, in my experience, it's always been this weak, wet, unsure kind of experience where it's like a gentle pat on the back, you know. And it's only in more recent years and working with men in circles that I've started to give and receive like actual hugs and feel really good in doing that with other men. So it's been a topsy-turvy and confusing relationship, I'd say, to touch in all forms. But I think it's such an important piece in terms of human contact and connection. And I think it's a really important topic for us to dive into today. So I'd leave my intro and experience there and throw it back at you. Like, I know you're quite the opposite from what we've talked about already. So yeah, why is touch, how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, I live in a world of touch. Being a body worker by trade for the last 15 years, you know, I spend my life touching people. Although, you know, that is a, it's a very different kind of touch. It's one, a very giving and receiving type of healing touch. But, you know, and there's, it's very much around permission and, you know, I'm performing a task. But so for me, you know, I've always enjoyed touch. It's I think it's one of the ways that I really experienced life, I think. And for me, a hug, you know, I grew up with a dad in particular. We used to hug an incredible amount, you know, because we kissed on the lips and we hug and we still do to this day. You know, I remember actually that whole kissing on the lips thing. I remember David Beckham being grilled over the fact that he was photographed kissing his kids on the lips. And I was like, wow, that's just, how is that becoming a conversation, you know? Because that's just what I grew up with. And I grew up with, yeah, lots of hugs. And so for me, you know, hugging someone is a really important part of making a connection with them. So I currently live in New Zealand, and New Zealanders are incredibly standoffish, in my experience. And so, you know, men and women, you know, everybody when they meet, they shake hands, you know, I'll go and see my friends and when we're catching up, they'll shove their hand out and I'm, you know, I'm diving in for a hug and their hand kind of bangs into my crotch almost, you know what I mean? It's bloody hilarious, but that's kind of the place and the culture that New Zealand is, you know. There's a very real space boundary that people have, and so from my perspective, I actually find that really challenging, you know. And I find that standoffishness it's almost like for me a bit of a rejection personally. And you know, and so it's a curiosity for me, you know, it's about why, you know, I think the curiosity I'd like to explore a little bit is why do you think we are Western, well, you know, this Anglo world and also, you know, Northern Europeans, which is, I guess, what our reference point, right? But, you know, us and the world that we live in, why do you think there is this difficulty for men and society to really feel comfortable with touch, and it's, you know, it's this kind of non-intimate, really just friendly, comfortable being in the presence of somebody and just being able to kind of touch each other, you know, in a, like, whether it's a hand on the shoulder or you know, a hand through a bent arm, or, you know, just walking down the street arm in arm, whatever it might be, a hug, you know, why is that stuff challenging? Or sitting down on a chair, you know, and just actually resting a hand on another person, you know, that stuff from my experience is often, you know, that they're real no-nos. It's almost like sitting down and touching somebody is a no-no. It's a really uncomfortable space, you know. So why is that? What do you think that is, Richie? What's your interpretation and experience around it?
Fear, you know, fear of intimacy. You mentioned earlier, you know, you almost felt rejected yourself when people kind of don't want to go in there. Yet they're just afraid of that contact because, you know, when we let people into our space and we're not used to doing that, it's the final boundary, right? Like, we struggle with boundaries in relationships, at work. And what I mean by boundary is saying, you know, what's okay for us and what's not in life, right? And so if we're useless at setting boundaries, and I'd say most humans are, because it's what I work in, right? You know, and it's been my work to kind of learn to say no and not qualify myself, and or just to say, this is okay for me, this is not. And you know, if we're not au fait with our needs, how we're meeting them and boundary work, then the final boundary of actually letting someone physically close to us is gonna generate a lot of fear. You know, like real intimacy is very hard, right? I think a lot of sex from what a lot of the people I work with and just from what I read and hear from people around me, you know, sex can be a beautiful intimate experience. And again, that's a topic for a separate podcast, but from the intimacy work that I've done, like, oh my God, there's so many layers to it. And so I feel like, well, I know a fair amount and yet there's so much more. And so this first layer of just basic touch and letting someone kind of come into your physical space is a lot for a lot of people. And, you know, I can hypothesize, right? But when we think about, again, the wars that we've had, I mean, there's so much trauma, like collective trauma that's kind of going on around the world. There's individual trauma that we're just starting now to realize is there and is to be unlocked and to be let go of. But touch is that's going to bring some of that up for some people if they don't feel safe. And, you know, today we're all kind of separate, but polarization's at its highest. You either think this or you think that. There's nothing in between. You know, we're so polarized as a society. Like the final frontier is to be able to just actually connect with each other physically. And I think that's what we actually most need to do, because once we're able to feel safe with each other in that space, really think things can shift and then we can start getting out of our own minds. And to sort of to share a brief tale on this, you know, I was in Bali a year or two ago and I was sat there in a cafe journaling, as I often like to do. And a man came in and I was in a bit of a mood. You know, I can be moody sometimes in the morning. And he sort of went to sort of say hi, and I kind of like acknowledged him and then sort of looked down, you know, in that kind of piss off kind of way that I can very easily do when I'm being a moody prick. And, you know, he got it and he went off. But later on, he just kind of walked up behind me. I knew where he was. And then he just put his hands cleanly and clearly on my shoulders and just gave like a warm squeeze. And that contact just made me go, oh. And I just relaxed immediately. And I came into my body and I just felt unbelievably safe. I felt, you know, this touch, I felt the intention of it. And it was just like, oh, and then I was out of my head and like, hey, how's it going? You know, and but like, that was a beautiful thing. And I wish that we were able to sort of do that more with each other. But like, if we're unable to receive touch and if we feel like it's a taboo subject, then it's very hard to then kind of give it, right? So there's so many reasons why we're so uncomfortable around it. But, and I'm almost not interested in figuring out where that started. I think from here on, it's like, look, let's figure out why it's important and change our perception around it, especially as men. And I'm not suggesting that we need to start walking around hand in hand or just sit there touching each other's arms. Like one day that could be a beautiful thing, right? But there's going to be a lot of resistance to doing that. You know, that's like, that's still not in most places that I've kind of hang around and have grown up. It's still weird to sort of see two men sort of, you know, openly displaying affection for each other, even though that should be just the most basic thing that they should be able to do, right? So there's still confusion and taboo around that, but how can we explore touch as and seeing it as a healthy thing and removing this kind of taboo weirdness, fear around it? Because for me, I think that's how men, whether they're aware of it or not, it's like, it's a deep fear of like, well, what does this mean? I'm not used to this. I never received it from my father. Although, again, you're a beautiful exception to that. Like, I was quite surprised to hear that your father kissed you on the lips. And I wonder how he was brought up and what that would mean.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't. He certainly wasn't brought up any different than anybody else in that it was a very normal, white, middle class 1960s New Zealand family, really.
So, but I'm judging that, you know what I mean? Yeah, like there's a part of me that's almost going, there's something wrong with that, there's something weird. And I bet there's a bunch of people listening to this also kind of going, that is strange, actually, that's not okay, because why would you do that? You know, it's like there's too intimate between a man and a boy or something, even though it's a father and son. Like that's where we are, right?
Well, exactly. And I think that this leads to the whole conversation around, you know, the where we are right now, the culture, we're dealing with all of these really poor behaviors around people overstepping the mark, and whether that's you know, between men and women, and a lot of the Me Too allegations, whether it's to do with, you know, bosses and people who work for them, you know, the abuse, sexual abuse by older people on younger people, you know, all these different things. You know, I think that, you know, one of the things that comes as a consequence of that stuff arising and then everybody becoming a bit hypervigilant around it is that it certainly does make, you know, I've noticed even in myself, you know, as comfortable as I am with touch, I actually am feeling more conservative and much more conservative and much more aware of when I may, you know, around how I'm feeling or what I'm about to do before I might touch somebody. You know what I mean? Like in a way that I've probably never really had before. And there's a big part of me that actually thinks it's a real shame. I mean, I'm kind of second guessing myself at times now about shit, you know, am I coming into somebody's space and boundary when I shouldn't be, and all these kinds of things. And so it does beg the question really, which is how do we get around that? You know, knowing, like you said, let's not go too far and try to unpick why we've got here socially. I mean, I think one thing I can observe is I think it's, you know, we swing and roll through society. You know, centuries ago, the English were philandering, you know, pillocks, really, from what I can gather. And then and then Queen Victoria came in and it all went very staid. And you know, we're kind of dealing with the consequences of that now, you know, blah, but we could dive into that. But I think you're right about just going, well, you know, we are in this situation now, and touch is such a vital thing. I mean, you know, you mentioned oxytocin. I mean, it's, you know, oxytocin is a love drug. It's our internal love drug that really connects us to other people. It gives us really good inner sense of well-being and self-worth. I mean, that's, and it really does bring us into connection with others, connection with ourselves, and connection, and it's vital. And one of the main ways we get oxytocin released is in these close relationships with people. So knowing that that's the case, you know, how do we bridge that? You know, and I think you asked that question just before, but again, you know, how do we begin to bridge this gap where we can begin to actually start to have touch that's done in a really connected but safe and respectful way?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think, like, for me, the answer is the same as the answer to a lot of the questions we're posing in how men can show up differently, and it's to choose to, right? And it's to take the responsibility to show up differently. That takes bravery, that takes courage. There's a risk of rejection, there's a risk of getting it wrong, but fuck, like, get over it. There's my compassionate side out the window. Like, I'm talking to myself as much as anything else, but like, that's what's required, you know, of leaders in this world that we're living in, and that's non-gender specific, right? Like, the responsibility to actually just try and behave differently. And the how for me is around intention, you know. And it's easy for me to say, go out and with intention touch someone. Like, again, with women, we have to check in. There's conversations around consent, you know, and everyone's got their own relationship to touch, you know, and you can really freak people out sometimes. But sensing into what someone might need, and that maybe just offering and asking and say, look, hey, look, do you want a hug? Hey, can I just give your shoulders a squeeze? Would you like that? You know, and just bridging the gap by kind of introducing the idea that this is something that you're actually able to offer and might be able to support someone with. Like, it's so important just to bridge the gap by just setting an intention and offering something, you know, then regardless of what the how it's received, right? Like if your intention is clear, then it will be received in that way, right? I didn't catch that. Sorry, Siri liked what I was saying. She decided to pipe up.
That was a perfect interjection by Siri. That's so funny.
That weekly reminder of how unprofessional we actually are, in case there was any doubt.
Yeah. mate, thank you, Siri. So how's your train of thought now, Rich? Are you
it's good. Like, it's actually kind of brought me back on track, because there's this, I want to bring in, if it's okay, the my experience as a yoga teacher. And one of the things you do in yoga as a teacher is learn to give adjustments. You know, when someone's not in a pose correctly, they can not get the benefits of it. They can potentially hurt themselves, right? So you then go around the room and pull the person or adjust the person so that they're in the right posture. And for me as a man moving into this teacher training, correcting or adjusting women was terrifying. Right? Because I'm like, what do I do here? And there's a position called downward facing dog, where a human is kind of on all fours, you know, pushing their hands into the ground, reaching their hips up and back away. So it's like a spinal stretch. And I was kind of invited to pull their hips back, right? And I'm like, do I stand behind them? Because that just looks like I'm trying to, you know, this isn't okay. And I was petrified of getting it wrong. Like, what does this mean? And I spoke to that. And the advice I received from the very cool woman that was accepting the adjustment was like, be clean and clear and firm in your touch. You know, like, you know how men shake hands, and it's the most ridiculous judgment of how masculine they are. Like, it's just so insane that we do this. And if it's a strong, overpowering handshake, they're kind of a prick, you know. If it's fairly strong, then yeah, then we trust them, right? And if it's a loose, like wet fish in the hand, you're like, ugh. Get out of my face. I mean, again, it's non-gender specific. It's just like loose touch is like, what do I do with that, right? And so it was the same mentality or approach for an adjustment. Like, be clear. So I was like, okay, one like hand either side of the hips, move straight in, just firmly pull back, release, you know? And going in with that intention to how we're actually approaching people or with touch seems to be really, really important. And it's made a big difference to me, you know, because we can sense intention. Our intuition can sense intention. Women's intuition can sense it way better, I think. But that's a vital piece for me. Like, I've said a lot, but how do you respond to that as someone that loves giving touch and professionally does it as well?
Yeah, I would completely agree about intention. I mean, in the 15 years I've been doing body work, the one real proud thing I can say is that I've never been accused or never had anybody, as far as I'm aware, go away and, you know, and feel uncomfortable about you know, what I did and how we were working. And you know, some of my work is really intimate. You know, it's, I don't leave any stones unturned in the human body when I'm working on it, right? And yet, the reason I think that is the case is that I always feel really clear in myself about what I'm doing. You know, I don't allow myself to shift in a different state. If I'm working with somebody who I might find attractive or whatever, you know, and you know, it doesn't. I don't feel as if there's any time when any of that actually is allowed to creep into the space between myself and the person I'm working with. And that's, you know, that is a really clear, so that's all about really, really clear boundaries, right? But it's also about a clarity of understanding, you know, myself and the relationship that I have with that other person. And, you know, and I think that is the single most important thing, which is what you've said. You know, it's that, you know, be clear and it's like be firm, but it's just like be felt. You know, let the other person kind of feel your intention through your hand. You know, so this kind of comes back to all this embodiment work that we've been talking about, right? It's like, if you know, that, and you use the word intuition, it's, you know, the same kind of things. It's like people, you know, instantly in that moment of connecting in with somebody, you know, where they are, what their intentions are, all of these things. And so I think, you know, so much of this, a way that we're going to get through this, what feels a little bit like, you know, we're in this kind of no man's land at the moment, this unknown zone of, you know, how do we re-engage with each other and reconnect via touch in a current such setting, a current society where it feels, it feels like it can be unsafe and it's unknown and it's like unknown and, you know, nobody knows if it's wanted. You know, on the leadership workshops that I've been doing for the last 12 or 14 years, you know, it's really noticeable in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years that it feels like people are less likely to hug on these courses. You know, it takes a lot longer for that to happen. It just, I mean, it could be me reading into it, but it's, it just feels like it. So, you know, I think, you know, each of us taking responsibility for our own intention for around it is where we need to start. It's the single most important place to start. And, you know, getting into our bodies, which you and I totally believe in here, Rich, like getting into our bodies is the way to get our intention clean and pure, and just to be present, to be solid, grounded, present in our bodies. And when we're connecting with other people, you know, and to relax as well, to be relaxed, you know, that's another one that is a really important key. It's like just to actually get in and have a hug with somebody and relax into that hug. Man, I mean, there's no nicer feeling, I think, almost at anywhere really. But, you know, I don't feel like many people relax into a hug. It's almost like everybody's really tense and they can't wait to get out of it, rather than just kind of relax and be in the hug.
Yeah, yeah. A few things have come up for me as you've been talking. Relaxing is, we try, because we can't, that's a taboo area, you know, to move into that space. We wouldn't try and do it unless we'd had a few drinks first, you know, especially when sort of, you're on a date or something. It often helps us to give us that Dutch courage, you know, to then go in for the kiss if that was the space that we're in. It's like, but it's so not necessary. And actually the touch itself is the thing that connects us and helps us relax. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. One's the extreme end of the other spectrum, which is when you can go to these intimacy workshops and what they look like. But before that, like self-touch, you know, that is a way in, right? So if you don't know how to touch yourself, how can you then touch someone else, right? And I don't mean like have a tug. That's obviously an immediate association when I mean self-touch. I just mean like one of my mentors, he gets us just to stand there and we're, you know, doing all this qigong, but just placing your hands on your kind of upper chest, you know, that final part of the body that moves when you're breathing in. And you're just where your fingertips are sort of grazing your collarbones, and just breathing into that area. That is powerful. That brings you into your body. There's a moment of touch where it's like, I'm here. I fucking matter, you know? And I lead this piece at the beginning of circles sometimes, and it resonates. It's like, yeah. Like why don't I do this more often? You know, it also can bring up a lot to kind of place your hands directly over your center of your chest, or, you know, that heart area, your belly. But like, just an invitation just to do that occasionally, that's one way to come into your own body, right? And that can be really powerful, just to be like, oh yeah, like I'm here in my body instead of up in my thoughts. There's such a profound difference, and all we're doing is applying some firm, like clearly intention touch to ourselves. The other piece, you know, is around my least favorite ways to dive into this space, which is, I spent a bunch of time in Bali like you did, and I was curious about intimacy, and there's plenty of these kind of workshops where you can go to, And there is there's such potential in these workshops, but the belly to belly meditation, which means, you know, two people just kind of learning to be next to each other, right? Like, and this is a big ask for a lot of people, you know, this is very in that sort of spiritual vein, right? But this really actually helped me. When I say it's my least favorite, I mean, I'll explain the some problem areas of it in a moment, but let's focus on the positives. Like learning to, you know, you're volunteering to sort of lie down next to someone you don't know. And there are several moments or several layers of consent and asking, right? This wheel of consent, you know, like giving, receiving, asking, telling, I think it is, where you're learning to sort of come together and sit and be, it's quite intimate, and you're breathing together and learning what that means. And then you can ask like, hey, can you put a hand on my shoulder? Or, you know, it's not kind of not going in the direction you might think. It's just experimenting with those boundaries is really powerful. That's not for Jeff in IT or Barry in project management. You know what I mean? Like that's a real kind of, that's not going to happen in any HR related. They're not going to be offering that in a corporate kind of training anytime soon. And yet one day, why not? You know, like we have to, there's several stages of work we have to get through, but that'll be a great thing one day. The problems with it being for me briefly are that it can become addictive, you know, and then people go in there with, you know, not so such clean intentions. I'm guilty of that myself sometimes. Like I'd rather go with that hot girl than that one I'm not so attracted to, you know. It's like, ooh, what's that about, Rich, you know? So it can be an area where if you spend a lot of time in, you can start to get very loose with your boundaries, in fact. And then that oxytocin that we talked about that does connect people just becomes the center of your world. And then everyone's hanging around with each other in these places and restaurants afterwards, like holding each other, touching each other. And boundaries are a little bit sort of more confused and mixed up. So we have to be a bit more clear with ourselves, but on a day-to-day basis in the real world, I think that moving towards just the idea that touch could be a healthier thing, and especially man to man, just thinking, what's wrong with me doing this? Is it a really healthy way to look at it? You know, and just grabbing a man, just taking a man by the arm, you know, just introducing that and just seeing how it's going. Because my sense and my belief is that actually, when it's done with the right intention, he'll like it, he'll appreciate it, and he'll be like, because I certainly, my trust deepens when I can relate to another man that actually has the confidence in himself to then actually reach out and touch someone else in a clean way. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. I mean, when I was listening to your talk, I was, it struck me that there's, I know exactly what you've been, the world you were talking about with those intimate moments. What I also know is that for majority of people I know, that's just that kind of world is so far unknown and unreachable, right? And
100%.
And it's also given it can be held in quite derogatory terms from what I can gather for a number of people. But I think I'm with you, you know, in that, you know, why can't we at some point get to the point where we have that level of trust and comfort in ourselves and with others that we can really relax into that kind of thing? And I think that's, you know, part of the reason for me and us doing this podcast, certainly from my perspective, is, you know, I really want us to start to you know, break this door down again that seems to be up, you know, maybe, you know, it might not be up in other parts of the world, and it may just simply be my experience and what I'm witnessing and what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling. But, you know, I'd like to start to get us to, you know, just to bring this wall down a little bit again and begin to re-engage with each other in a way that incorporates touch, you know, and incorporates this ability to be able to hug each other, to be able to put our hands on each other and as we've talked about a lot in this kind of way that's got, you know, it's got consent to it. It's comfortable. It has permission, you know. So I think, you know, I'm hoping that from this conversation and other conversations that I know you and I are having, and, you know, I really hope that we can start to, yeah, just to bring more touch in, you know, because I, you know, just to finish off for me here, you know, because one of the things I know is, you know, I've worked with farmers and things like that in New Zealand, you know, people who have had a very limited experience with close proximity to people, and that, you know, whether that, you know, other than playing sports, of course, so whether that's hugging or, you know, just kind of being open and honest, you know, all the stuff that you and I have been talking about. But my experience has been is that even, you know, when those men in particular have the experience of what it is like to get comfortable being close to men, to touching, to hugging, it, I mean, you know, the well-being, the total change that I've witnessed that for those men is phenomenal. I mean, I don't know if you remember my friend who came over to Bali a few years ago from New Zealand.
Been thinking about him. We won't say his name, but who I was thinking of.
Exactly. I mean, it was transformative, that experience. It just nourished him, has changed his relationship with his wife, everything, you know. And I've seen that again, actually. And it's just such a vital thing. And it's, so I really, you know, I really want to see how we can begin to change the way that we relate to touch with amongst us all.
Yeah, and something that's become really clear to me as we've both been talking is that, again, like us coming together as men and figuring this out and like reimagining our relationship to touch is then critical to have an impact on our relationship to women and touch, because, you know, there's not a lot of trust there at the moment, right? And for good reason, you know?
And I would like to add to that, you know, trust between other men and other men as well, you know? A lot of the fear around that, you know, as poorly misguided as often that can be, whether it's a homophobic sense or whatever that might be, you know, like that exists there too. And all of that, it's like, wow, with their barriers, we just got to find our way through. Sorry to interrupt there, Rich.
But you did, didn't you?
I did. Sorry. I just needed to make that point.
None taken. No, all good. I was probably going to say something similar. No, I'm not going to claim that. Like, that's a pretty good place to, you're right. Like, my thought was around, like perhaps women listening to this kind of going, oh, you know, like, are these two men inviting men to come and sort of touch us? And it's always an invitation to start with the self. And then I'm still convinced that if we can repair our relationship to each other as men, that's going to give us, in the solidarity that can create, you know, with us as a collective, that's our way to then move into this space to start to practice being more relational with women, to kind of, you know, patch up, you know, the very cracked wall of trust and connection that currently exists, you know. And that's just my belief. I mean, I could well be wrong. I know people that don't believe in separate circles, for example, and that it should all be integrated. I don't think so. I think that this feels really the way to go for me, and I feel quite strongly about that.
Yeah, I'd agree. So once more, as with all of these episodes, you know, if there's anything that, as you've been listening, that you've heard, if you've got some input on this one, I know that I'm very much keen to hear what other people's experiences like, men and women, around touch and what you'd like for touch. I think that's actually a good piece or good question there. You know, what would you like as a listener, as a human being, as a person? So, you know, please feel free to drop us a line on our Man Reimagined Facebook page, flick us an email, a personal email, a personal message if you would like to, because we'd love to hear from you.
Great place to end, I think. We've both had a lot to say on this. I feel it's been an interesting one, or at least I found it interesting.
Yeah.
But good place to round up things. And then we're going to bring in a guest in next week, aren't we? Who's an embodiment worker and have his own relationship and experience to embodiment and his own perspective, which I'm really interested in hearing. So I'm looking forward to grilling him and what he's going to bring to the conversation as well.
Mm. Yep, exactly. Beautiful. All right, Rich, thank you once again for a great conversation, man. And I look forward to catching up with you very shortly.
Ciao. Likewise, brother, man. Ciao.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.